Thank you for joining us for the Tucson Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Brent Armstrong. This podcast features the messages from the teaching and preaching ministry at our church. Tucson Baptist Church is located in Tucson, Arizona, and we are committed to loving God, growing together, and reaching our community. If you would like to learn more about our ministry, please visit TucsonBaptist.com. We pray that today's message is an encouragement to you.
Would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Proverbs and take your hand out as we continue in our series of messages that we began last week, a multi-month series of messages outside the box. So turn to Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. Take your hand out, and we'll look at that in just a moment. Thank you for all those who have joined us by live stream. I trust that you will be encouraged today as we go through this service. At 2:35 this morning, I received an email. Good morning, Pastor. We just had the opportunity to watch the message from last Sunday. I try to interpret that. What are you doing up at 2:35 and we just watched the message from last Sunday? But anyway, they were. We just watched the message from last Sunday, your message on living outside the box. What a powerful message. We can relate on so many levels of our box and overall paradigm being destroyed this year. This message definitely spoke to me, and I appreciate you sharing your personal challenges during this last year. I've been praying for you personally as well as the ministry of TBC over the past few months, that God would give you strength and protect you from the attacks of the enemy. And then he goes on to tell about a family update. This was a faithful former family that moved out of the area. And then he says, I just wanted to let you know, before you preach today, what God is doing in our lives, your brother in Christ. The reality is, as we introduced our new series of messages last week, is that our proverbial box or paradigm has been crushed. The things that we did 1 year ago in January, we're not able to do this year. Oh, some have lost their jobs or they've had to change their jobs. For others, there's been a change in the political realm and there's been some things happen. For others, there has been sickness and sadly in our own church, there's been death. And for others, the things that we used to do, we can't do anymore. Although we once shook hands and we hugged someone and we said how much they mean. Now we're told that we can't do those things. And so now we're told we have to sit 6 feet apart and we have to go to the store and we have to stand 6 feet apart. And so everything has changed in our world and news is beset by bad news. In the first 7-8 minutes, you don't even want to watch the news because it's all bad. Our box has been crushed. Our box has been destroyed. But here's the thing. None of this caught God by surprise. None of it. We still serve an amazing God. And for those who have stopped praying, for those who have stopped coming to church, for those who have stopped giving, may I just tell you, God's still on the throne. And he's still got this. And throughout the Word of God, I find that there were a lot of boxes that were destroyed. And we're going in just a couple of weeks to begin to do a character study of all different kinds of men and women whose boxes were crushed. And yet God still used them. Their lives were restored. And my hope and my prayer is that our church will be radically encouraged, not just marginally encouraged, but radically encouraged as we learn that even though our box can be flattened, even though we learn that our box is not the same as it once was, and even though we learn that our box may never be the same again, that God still got this. With that, our text for this series of messages is going to be Proverbs chapter 12. And I've asked you to memorize this one verse. And some of you are older, you say, I can't memorize. It's only two sentences. You can do this. I got confidence in you. For the young minds, you may have already memorized this. So our text for this entire series of messages is going to be Proverbs 12 and verse number 25. The Word of God says this, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Let's all say that together here. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Together, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Now, the day's coming. I'm going to have you close your Bibles, and we're going to turn off the screen, and we're going to see if we've memorized this verse. So we won't do that today because it might be embarrassing. But that's coming. In the next week or so, we're going to turn off the screen, have you close your Bibles, and we're going to quote that together. So get out a 3x5 card, write it out. Let's memorize this verse together because we're going to say it Sunday by Sunday. Now, I spent an entire message, both personal and from the Word of God, explaining how our boxes have been destroyed. Our paradigm of how we live life has been destroyed over the past 12 months. Church, we do church differently now because of a virus, because of regulations, because of this thing or that thing. But did God stop being God when a pandemic hit this world? Absolutely not. But sometimes we go with the flow. And here's what happens, is that there are barriers that thwart us, that stop us from serving God. Very quickly, we won't re-preach the message, I'll just mention them. We said there's three barriers, and they should be in your notes. We said there's unclear values. Sometimes we just cannot figure out what's important. And we go here, and we go there, and we're just so scattered. Number two, we looked at that there's unrealistic expectations that are in our life. My boss wants me to do this. The pastor wants me to do this. I got to do this with my children. And so we're spread out, and our expectations are unrealistic. And then some of us, and this hit home as I communicated with a number of you this past week about the fact there's some unsustained energy. There are tired people today. Now, you may not be physically tired, but here's what we've learned. There's a lot of people that are tired spiritually. We've learned that there are people that are drained emotionally. There are people that are struggling in relationships, and their energy is gone. And we've seen a wave of discouragement go across our country and even our world. And as we hear reports from missionaries, this is not unique to the United States of America. There are some real spiritual battles going on in this world. And so we learned that there are some barriers that are stopping us. And I want to break down those barriers. And so today, as we look forward, we're going to look at some antidotes. How do I overcome those barriers? How do I press through those barriers? How do I squash those barriers? Here's antidote number one this morning as we get into our message. We must line up our priorities. And I want to challenge you to line up your priorities. Line up your priorities. If you want to find time for those things that are important in life, you must line up your priorities. And this is taught repeatedly throughout the book of Proverbs. We have to decide what is important. My box has been crushed. You know what? I better spend some time deciding what is important in this life. If Jesus is coming back soon, what is important? I need to clarify my values, and then I've got to make some choices in my life. Do you realize that we all, every one of us, we have the exact same amount of time every single week? We have 160 hours a week, and we have to manage that. And we need to line up our priorities. The bad news is that next week, you're not going to have any more time than you had this past week. And we're all hoping that next week we're going to have 5,000 hours so that we can get caught up on all the things that we're behind on. But the fact is that this coming week, you're going to have the exact same amount of hours that you had last week. So we've got to learn to line up our priorities. We've got to learn how to manage those priorities. And we cannot stretch our time. We cannot add to our time. But we sure can manage our priorities. Someone said this: your life will be shaped either by your priorities or by your pressures. Your life, every single one of us, every deacon, every usher, every single one of our growth group teachers, your pastor, the pastoral staff, every church member, every visitor. This is true of every single person. Your life is shaped and molded by your priorities or by your pressures. And if you do not decide what is important in your life, other people will gladly do it for you, and they'll pressure you into their mold. Now listen to me, we're living in a godless society. And as your pastor, one who tries to stay in tune with what's going on in our world is not getting any better. The things that are coming out of all the different state houses and out of Washington, D.C., none of these things are making our society better. None of these things are drawing us closer to God. This godless society has many ideas for your life. This godless society has many plans for your life, many ways that you can spend your time. And the thing is they want to pressure you into their mold. And if you're not extremely careful, this world, that means your classmates or your employer or your friends or your TV viewing or your politics, it will pressure you into accomplishing someone else's value, someone else's goal. And thus, perhaps missing what God desires for you. What do you value? What do you want to give your time and your energy and your effort to accomplishing? Now, I know this morning that there are many of us that have a to-do list. How many of you know what a to-do list is? You got a grocery list, and maybe it's in your Bible, or ladies, it's in your purse, and you've got a to-do list. I've got to go to the grocery store, and I got to buy I've got to buy some green beans, and I've got to buy some corn, and I've got to buy some meat, and I've got to buy some toilet paper. You have a to-do list. And many times, who are in management, men and women, you'll have a three or four things that must be accomplished every day. You have a to-do list, and maybe you're driven by your to-do list. May I suggest that you should have a not-do list? What do I mean by that? There's some things that you should not do in life. There's some things that you should say, this is not effective. This is not a good use of my time. And the more you concentrate your life on Christ, the more you're going to find there's some things that should not be on your to-do list. Every one of us, our light as a Christian is a light. And light concentrated becomes a laser. And a laser has the power to burn. It's amazing to me that they say that an airline pilot, when he is coming into land, that someone could point a laser at that airplane and from miles away can burn the eyes of a pilot. Concentrated light. Now there's light bulbs. And a light bulb can have as little as 25 watts and it won't do very much. But it's a dim light. Light diffused has no power at all. And you can take the power of the sun, and many of us, this was fun to do. You could take a magnifying glass when the sun is up between like 11 and 3, and you could have the sun shine through, and you could zap bugs. You could fry bugs with a magnifying glass. The power of a magnifying glass with that sunlight going through it. It will heat up. It will burn. It'll burn grass and little bugs. And may I just say, if you'll focus your life like a laser, it's going to be amazing what God can do with your life. Sadly, there are too many people allowing the world to influence your light. And therefore, you become ineffective. You know what the Bible says? It's a dumb thing to try to do everything. Listen to what Proverbs 17 verse 24 says. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Or we could say it, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. You start in 15 directions. There's no cohesiveness to where you're headed in life. You need to discover what's important. Line up my priorities by the Word of God, by what God wants me to do. Selection is the name of that game. Proverbs 12 and verse number 11 says, he that tilleth the ground shall be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. This verse is saying, do not major on those minor issues. Life is too precious. Do not major on minor issues. Do not waste your time reading inferior books. Do not waste your time watching inferior movies. Do not waste your time listening to inferior music. Fill your mind with good, wholesome, right things that are precious. Do not get involved with trivial things that do not matter. You know, a lot of times, we will make major deals out of minor little deals. I learned a long time ago that there's two types of people. There's that one person that'll take this minor thing and make it a great big issue. But thankfully, in churches, there are lots of people that are guided and under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. They'll take this big issue and they'll make it a minor issue. Which one are you? Do you take something little irritating and make it full blown? Or do you take those things that are big, that seem like they're a big issue, and do your best to make it a small, minor issue? Do you know that God has plans? Think about it. In Genesis chapter number 1, the God of all the universe, He planned this earth. God did not haphazardly speak this world into existence. God did not haphazardly make man and woman in His own image. God did not haphazardly create the animals and the fish. God is a God of order. I'm so thankful that God figured out that there's something called gravity, or we'd all float away. I'm so thankful that God figured out that this earth would revolve around the sun and that it would be tilted at exactly the right angle so that we wouldn't burn up and fry like those bugs, or that we wouldn't be too far away from the sun and we would freeze to death. God is a God of order. Why do we not plan and line up our priorities as God has demonstrated to us? I know many people spend hours and hours in the business world on a business plan, and they'll spend all this time working on their business. But may I ask you, have you ever even spent 10 minutes on a life plan? 10 minutes planning what God would want for your life. So many of us, we just say, the future will get here, and I'll just go along, and you're swimming downstream with the mindless, countless millions and billions of people that have no purpose in life. God has a plan for your life. Line up your priorities by the Word of God, especially when your box has been crushed. I've had people tell me, you know, when I die, I have put TBC in my will. And there's going to be a portion of my estate that goes back to the church. And I say, that's great. Thank you for thinking of our church. And by the way, it's great. We appreciate that. And it's happened through the years. And people have given us property. And people have given us possessions. And people have given us money. And it's helped our church. And we praise the Lord for that. But you know what? I kind of like what an old preacher in the South said. He says, do your giving while you're living. Then you'll be a knowing where it's a going. You ought to put church and ministries in your will. Let me say, since December, we've not talked at all about giving. In fact, someone just mentioned to me last week, Pastor, you never say anything about an offering. And I said, you think I should say something? And he said, I think you should remind people. So let me say, there are offering boxes here at church. And it's been weeks since I mentioned that. We ought to be giving to our church because we're giving back to the Lord. Okay, there you go. The boxes will be overflowing. We should give to the church. We should give to ministries. It's a great idea. We should be generous. And here's the thing. I want you to have the enjoyment of knowing what's going on with your giving now. And someone would say, why wait till you're dead and you have no idea what's going to happen with your estate? Do your giving now so that you can see the blessings of seeing people saved and missionaries supported. May I just say, be generous givers. Line up those priorities. The problem is this, is that it usually takes a crisis to hit before we examine our priorities. A bankruptcy, a divorce, the death of a loved one, an election, a pandemic, something called COVID. It usually takes something traumatic for us to stop and think, oh, you know what? I better do some business with God. May I just remind you that life is short. Life is brief. The Bible says if you live 70 years, you've lived a full life. And then it says if you're blessed beyond that, to live longer than 70, you truly are a blessed person. We know that life is short. There are very, very few people that ever lived to be 100. In fact, we do not have anyone here this morning that's 100 years of age. That's very rare. Life is short. May I just tell you, eternity is for all of eternity. And what we do right now in this short life determines how we live for all of eternity. Do not wait for the crisis. Do not wait for the crisis. Do not wait for your box to be crushed and flattened before you decide, I need to line up my priorities. I need to make sure that if I'm living my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing happens until you schedule it, you plan for it, you line up your priorities. Nothing. You may say spending time with God is important. Would we say that? Of course we would. You may say spending time with your children are important. You may say quality time with your spouse is important. You may say exercise or your hobby is important. But if you don't schedule it, if you don't line it up with some priorities, it's never going to happen. Nothing happens unless you're going to line up and prioritize it in your life. So antidote number one to unclear values and unsustained energy and unmet expectations that keep us from serving God is that I need to line up my priorities by the Word of God. Very quickly this morning, antidote number two. Antidote number two is this. We need to lighten up our attitude. Whew. Lighten up our attitude. There are some of you who have not smiled in a year. Your box got run over, and your smile got run over with it. There are some of you who are stretched so thin that you're like a rubber band, and all it's going to take is someone to breathe hard on you, and you're going to snap. Do you know that the Bible teaches us that we're to relax? We're to lighten up? Because much of the stress that's in our life is self-imposed. It's the result of our attitude. And we just have so many unrealistic expectations. And we're trying to do so many things that we don't have the energy to do that. It's not sustainable. Go to our text verse. Let's read it again this morning. Proverbs 12 and verse 25. You've memorized it by now. It's on the screen behind me. What does it say together? It says this. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. Stop. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. Anxiety, worry, stress in a man or a woman makes it to stoop. It causes our body posture to literally change because of stress and strain. They say so many people die from worry and stress. There's people that literally die from this. The more we play into that stress, the more we indulge that stress, the unhealthier we get physically. God intends for life to be enjoyed, not merely endured. When God saved you, He didn't say, okay, now you have this life of drudgery. Endure the Christian life. Some of you look like you're enduring this message. Could you look at someone in the row before you, behind you, say, hey, it's great to see you this morning. Could you do that right now? Just look at someone and say, it's great to see you. Now, hopefully none of you lied. But some of you, it's like you're enduring. May I just say, we need to lighten up. We need to refresh our attitude. It is great being a Christian. It is amazing coming to church. I'm so thankful that even though our box has been flattened, the choir is still able to sing this morning, or a portion of the choir. I'm so thankful that even though we're not supposed to touch plates and contact, we can still have the Lord's table. We had to think outside the box. I'm so thankful that even though we don't pass an offering plate, which just seems so anti-church, I'm so thankful that we have offering boxes. And you could go by and put your offering. I'm so thankful that we've been able to find some ways to do church. Thinking outside the box. May I just say we need to lighten up our attitude. I read about this guy. He was driving his sports car. He got to a building. He could not find a parking space anywhere. He's looking at his watch, and there was this red zone, and no parking. And so he wrote a note real quickly. He said, "I know it's a red zone, but I'm in a hurry. It's an emergency. I promise I'll only be there for 15 minutes. And he ran upstairs. His meeting was on the top floor, and he made his presentation in the meeting, and he ran back down, and he looked at his watch. He goes, "Oh, 12 minutes. I made it." And when he got there, there was a ticket on his windshield, and a police officer's note said, "Take your time." We need to lighten up. Now, Proverbs 12, verse 25 is our text verse for this series of messages. And we're going to learn that. We're going to understand that a glad word, a right word, a timely word can lighten up and encourage us. We're going to learn that. And it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Here's another verse I want you to write down. It may be in your notes there. Proverbs 14, verse 30 says this. In the Bible it says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh." Lighten up. Quit worrying. Quit stressing out. Someone has said the first rule of life is do not sweat the small stuff. Well, that woke you up. So anyway, the first rule of life is do not sweat the small stuff. And the second rule is this. It's all small stuff. From God's perspective, your big problems are not that big. And some of you are thinking, if you knew what my problems are, you wouldn't be able to lighten up either. I'm not belittling, I'm not saying that we don't have problems in life. But here's my encouragement. If you're serving God, if you love God, you've lined up your priorities and you know who God is, He can help you. The problem is we try to do it all of ourselves. We need to practice what I call relaxed concerned. And that sounds like a contradiction, but it is not. Jesus, He modeled relaxed concern. The very first recorded words of Jesus when He was 12 years old were this: "I must be about my Father's business." There's a man who has lined up his priorities. At 12 years of age, he already knew where he was headed. "I must be about my Father's business." And as He died on the cross before He was resurrected, His last words were this: "It is finished." And there are the bookends of a successful life. Knowing where He was going and knowing that when it was finished, that He was going to go to His Father in heaven. I wonder if we can say this: "I'm going to be about my Father's business." At the end of our life, we could say, "It's finished. I did what my Father asked me to do." When Jesus said, "It is finished," had everyone in the whole world been saved? Had all of the sick people been healed? Had all of the people that were without food and were hungry, had they been fed? Had all the guys who had emotional difficulties and hurts in their life been relieved? How could He say, "It is finished"? And here's the answer. Because Jesus had done what the Father had told Him to do. Even Jesus, God in human form, did not try to meet everyone's need. Here's what He did. Those that He were privileged to be around, He did His best to meet those needs. He said it's finished because He had done exactly what His Father had asked Him to do. He had done God's will in His life. He had taken care of those things that were most important as He lined up His priorities. And when you study the life of Jesus, you'll notice that He's never in a hurry. Oh, I need to learn from Jesus. Never in a hurry. One time He had His best friend. His name was Lazarus, and Lazarus got sick. Jesus was approximately 5 to 6 miles away. And we know that Jesus could have gotten back in time because the people that found out that Lazarus was sick, they hurried and they ran to where Jesus was and they said, "Jesus, hurry up. Please come right now. You've got to make Lazarus better. You've got to heal him." If you know the story, it takes Jesus 3 days to get there. He wasn't in a hurry. All of us, in 3 days, we could walk 5 or 6 miles. Jesus wasn't in a hurry. He had a bigger miracle in mind. He wanted to raise this dead man from the grave. God doesn't just want to do what you want him to do. God has bigger plans for us. And some of us, we worry and we sweat. And some of us, as I said, our heaviness is making us to physically stoop. Some of us, we haven't smiled in months. There's been nothing in our life that's made us more in love with the Lord, because our box, our life, our paradigms, the things that once were, got run over. And you've given up. Listen to what Proverbs 17 verse 22 says. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Laughter. It's amazing. But here's what that verse also says. And we know this to be true. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. I have a doctor that I go to once a year to do a physical. His name's Dr. Galasso, and I talk to Dr. Galasso. And so we'll go through a series of questions, and he says, okay, no medicines again this year. You're doing fine. What else you want to talk about? And then we'll talk about something spiritual. Every time Dr. Galasso and I we talk about something spiritual. So through our many years here, I've asked Dr. Galasso, Dr. Galasso, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that laughter is like a good medicine. And it says that a dry spirit, it just like withers the bones. Is that true in your experience as a medical doctor? Dr. Glosser says, absolutely, it is 100% true. Here's what happens, that when you laugh, there's a chemical change that takes place in your body. T cells are released, and it actually helps your immunity, he said. And he says it produces something called endorphins. We've heard that word. These are nature's natural painkillers. And there are all kinds of positive benefits when you laugh, he said. That's a doctor. That's not a churchgoer. That's a doctor who says that laughter is like a good medicine, completely from a medical aspect supporting. Listen, some of you, we need some medicine this morning. I never tried to be a comedian in the pulpit. That's not me. I'm not a naturally funny guy. But I did find some things that we'll call church bulletin bloopers. And so I thought I would share those with you. These were actual announcements and church bulletins that someone compiled. So let me share these misprints with you. Church bulletin bloopers. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Church bulletin. Thursday at 5 p.m., there will be a meeting of the Little Mothers Club. Everyone wishing to become a little mother, please see the minister in his study. My study is closed. Potluck supper. Prayer and medication to follow. One letter makes the difference there. At the evening liturgy tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to the choir practice. Next Sunday, Mrs. Vincent will be soloist for the morning service. The pastor will then speak on, it's a terrible experience. Prayer request. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement on Friday at 7 p.m. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. Today's sermon, how much can a person drink with hymns from a full choir? I like this one. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. The best one is for last. The low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. Yeah, I see both men and women right now. You didn't even crack a smile. You know what? Your Proverbs 12:25 this morning. Heaviness in your life. Did you know that your entire muscular system releases when you laugh? Have you ever laughed so hard you just got limp? I mean, it's amazing that laughter could do some things. God designed you to laugh. God created within you the ability to relax. God says if you want to make time for what's important in your life, you've got to line up your priorities. You've got to lighten up your attitude. You've got to learn to see some humor in life. And I just say, parents, have you ever said this? Someday we're going to look back over this and laugh. How many parents understand that? Yep. Well, laugh now. It'll lighten the load. It'll sure make that problem a whole lot easier that's going on in your home. Your work is never going to get finished. That's why it's called life. It's called being a parent. Your work will never be finished. So find time in the middle of your problem, in the middle of your work, for those things that are most important. And my relationship with Jesus Christ is most important. Some of the important things of life is simply enjoying the people around you that God has sent into your life as gifts. And if you wait until all your work is done to start enjoying the people that God has put in your life, it just ain't going to happen. In God's value system, relationships are more important than accomplishments. In God's value system, relationships are more important than accomplishments. The certificate on the wall, yes, it said you worked hard. But how many relationships may have gone awry in the process of that? You were able to work those overtime hours so that you could have enough money to buy something for your hobby, but in the process of that, your children were injured by no relationship with dad or mom. You could have been at church and you said, well, I don't need church, but maybe there's somebody here that needed you. And you didn't value the relationships enough because it was more important that I accomplish sleeping in. Or it was more important that I accomplish going shopping. It was more important that I accomplish and you fill in the blank. Relationships are far more than accomplishments. We need to lighten up our attitude. Last week we discovered the power of prayer and how important it is. Prayer is. And when your box is smashed and order seems to have died and you don't even recognize this world and you wish we could go back to a different time, we collectively as a church, we've got to lighten up our line up our priorities of serving Jesus Christ, and we need to lighten up our attitude if we have any chance of surviving this wicked world. Would you close your Bibles? I'm finished. Then as soon as you close your Bibles and look up this way, we'll wrap this up and we will be finished. I have a big announcement to make. Here we go. The Bible says that the mission of Satan is to destroy the church. You understand that? The mission of Satan is to destroy this church. I want to stand on the front lines, as hard as it is, to line up my priorities and say, Satan, we're not going to allow you to get one foot in this church. Satan's mantra is this word, destroy. He walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, destroy. Church, we need to line up our priorities. We need to be in church. We need to be in the Bible. We need to be in prayer. You say that all the time. We need to be in church. We need to be in the Bible. And we need to be praying. But along the way, as our boxes have been smashed and squished and think we have to do things different, we need to lighten up our attitude and understand that Jesus said that the pressures and struggles many times that are self-imposed that we put on our shoulders, that those things make our body to physically begin to fall apart and deteriorate. And he says laughter is a good medicine. And those relationships that he has created that are important in our life, value those relationships. Seek those relationships. They're important. Next week, we're going to look at the third antidote. Next week's message will be just a little bit shorter, but I want you to understand, next week we're going to look at that third antidote, and it will, if we will hold on to it, change our church. Three antidotes to destroying the barriers that keep us from serving God. So I ask you this question. How's your relationship? How is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Relationships are more important than accomplishments. How's your relationships? Have you lined up your priorities to serve Jesus Christ? When's the last time? Well, we saw a few minutes ago, some of you laugh. When's the last time you lightened up your attitude and realized that there's some benefits from what the Bible says, laughter is like a good medicine?